Study through Deuteronomy. Starting to study through Deuteronomy. And so we're going to be looking at the white books here in just a moment. But before we do, let's turn there for a scripture in chapter 34. Chapter 34, tail end of the book. And here we see Moses' life is coming to an end. And so in 34, 1 through 4, scripture says, Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah. That is over against Jericho, and the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan. And we're said to be on, basically on the east side of the Jordan. And all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea. So that'd be all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. And the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, and the city of palm trees, Jericho is known as the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. Now, keep in mind here, just as we looked there in Galatians chapter 3 on Sunday, seed could refer to either all the physical seed of Abraham, the Jews, or it could refer to the seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for sure, the promised land belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's his land. And then his people as well. Is there land for them as well? Anyway, he goes on to say, I've caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. All right, so we'll look at some of this a little bit later on today, but the Lord was not going to allow Moses, Aaron, or Miriam, for that matter, to enter into the promised land, because right at the end of Abraham's life, he sinned against the Lord, and the Lord withheld the privilege for him to go into the land. So we're going to look at that in Numbers tonight. But anyway, here is the passage. So he's giving, he's speaking here at the end of the 40 years of wandering here. He's written Deuteronomy, and he wants them to understand this is basically their constitution. we might think in terms of this that the Lord is... was king over them, and so the organization of the Jews was a theocracy, or a rule by God, and he wanted them into the land. So here he's the king. He wants the people into the land, and he has a constitution. So Deuteronomy might be the constitution for them in the land by the king. So the king has a constitution for the people in the land. I mean, that's the way to look at this. And so he writes Deuteronomy here at the end, and then he preaches it. We're not sure when he wrote the other five books, obviously, sometime during the period here, and it may have all culminated there at the end. I think see, this is a pivotal point in Israel's history. Once we have Moses done, he turns it over to Joshua, and with Joshua, will they obey and go into the land that's been given to them? See, this is pivotal, pivotal time in their history. Will they obey the Lord? And so he gives them these books. Now, in, certainly with regard to Genesis, I think somewhere along the line, the Jews might have been, maybe while they're out there wandering around in the wilderness, why is it that you want us to go across the Jordan into the promised land? What is this all about? Why do you want us to go into the promised land? Well, I think the Lord wanted to say to them, all right, through Moses, all right, let's start from the beginning, the very beginning. Genesis 1:1. I created heaven and earth, and then I created land. And I created land on water. And I've got a promised land for you. So let's start all the way back to the beginning and move forward here to where we are today. So we're glad he did that. See, Moses didn't write Genesis 1 to because he's thinking, you know, 3,500 years down the road, atheists are going to come along and question about creation. So I'm writing this for 20th century Christians or 21st century Christians to deal with atheists. That's not why he wrote this. But we're glad he wrote this because we can use it this way. But he wrote it for his own people. And so this is a benefit for us. All right. So in this, I mentioned several basic things. Deuteronomy, comes from the Greek Old Testament, meaning second law. It's based on misinterpretation of Deuteronomy 17, verse 18, where they translated in 17:18, Scripture says, write him a copy of this law. They write in their, or the Greek word for Deuteronomy, for a second law. this is not a second law. This may be considered a renewal of the law, or the covenant, basically, renewal of the covenant, but it's not a second law. And so the LXX or Septuagint is wrong, but that's where they get this idea. And so the name Deuteronomy is comes from the Greek Old Testament scripture. The Hebrews call this, they give the Hebrew version of these be the words. So that's the title of the book back there in verse 1. Eli Daverim, something like that. These be the words. So that's the title of their Old Testament scripture. We call it Deuteronomy. Anyway, obviously Moses, we believe Moses wrote this. Several times the Lord alluded to the book of Deuteronomy, certainly when he was tempted, and also in chapter 22 of Matthew. Moses was the writer. His name, by the way, I don't know if I mentioned this last time, comes from chapter 2 of Exodus. Moses' name comes from this. In 2:1, Exodus 2:1, we see how Moses was named. In 2:10. Exodus 2:10. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son, and she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. Well, the verb there, draw out, is masah, M-A-S-A-H, masah, and so Moses is derived from it. So Moses means drawn out or something like that. It's a noun form, personal noun form of the verb, drew out. Moses was 120 years of age. In different passages, we find out the Bible gives us in three increments of 40 years each for his life. And so he dies at 120 years of age. All right, now let's look, first of all, at the map. So let's open our white book here towards the end. And these are excellent maps. Beneficial for us, to be sure. And so we're going to have a detailed study of the book of Deuteronomy, including maps and so on. So geography, theology, practices, law, all these things. But here on the map, I think it towards the back, maybe on the second side. But anyway, it has kind of in the middle of the Sinai Peninsula. And a lot of dark for the Mediterranean Sea and so on. That map. See that map? So it's the map that has a dark sea and the Gulf of Suez. See all that? All right, you got that map. All right. So this is the map of the Exodus. So if you look up there north of the Gulf of Suez, see there we're over there in Egypt. And this is basically the traditional route and the bold arrows of them coming out and through the sea there. And then they come down by the Gulf of Suez here all the way down to the almost the bottom of the Sinai Peninsula, where the black, dark arrow's pointing, that's Mount Sinai. All right, see that, Mount Sinai? It's also known as Mount Horeb, or Horeb. So Horeb is the more popular name for Mount Sinai, Horeb, H-O-R-E-B. Mount Sinai, all right? Then almost directly north of Mount Sinai is Kadesh Barnea. See that? See that? It's Kadesh Barnea. Now, that's a significant place because this is where Israelites stayed for 38 years. They just went around the circles there around Kadesh Barnea. And then, as Deuteronomy chapter 1 talks about, so let's look there in the verse, Deuteronomy 1, and saying in verse 2, it's a parenthesis, Deuteronomy 1, 2, there are 11 days journey from Horeb. So what's Horeb? Mount Sinai. By the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. All right, so where's Mount Seir? Well, if you look up on the right-hand side of the map, up around Edom, you see Edom there? See, look on the right-hand side up north, see Edom? All right, well, right in that area is Mount Seir. All right, see that? It's about two-thirds of the way up on the map on the right-hand side. Everybody see Edom? All right. So we've got Mount Sinai, and then this says going to Kadesh Barnea by way of Mount Seir. So down here, Sinai, you go up there by the Gulf of Aqaba and all the way up to the area of Edom, and then you cross over to Kadesh Barnea. See that? So everybody see that path? From Mount Sinai up to Edom, that area of Edom, and then directly to your left over to Kadesh Barnea. You follow that? Everybody see that? Okay. All right, so that's 11-day journey. That's 11-day journey. All right, so that's the route that they went. As far as we're concerned, now this map shows earlier features in the book of Exodus. See, so this map is, the current map that we're looking at is not dealing with Deuteronomy chapter 1. So it's showing other activity there and so on. All right, now on the second map, so the page connected with it, we have second map now. This is Israel in the wilderness. And so now we start over there on the left-hand side, in the middle of the page, left-hand side, at Kadesh Barnea. All right, see that? And you've got arrows coming out of that. Now, Kadesh Barnea, where the arrow that goes straight up, this is the direction that the spies went to spy out the land. All right, the 12 spies went to spy out the land. See that? See the arrow? And they spied out the land. Then they came back, and 10 of them came back doubting. We're going to look at some of these passages, but we're going over the maps. So they came back doubting. So underneath that, you see the dotted line. You see the dotted line there? It looks like almost a circle. Here's what's called the wilderness wanderings in the wilderness of Paran and so on. So notice that it's they're looping around. 38 years they looped around. 38 years looping around in that area. Why? Because the 10 spies discouraged people from going into the promised land. So here they spun their wheels for 38 years. And that's where the Lord kept them. Now finally, in our context here, we have now they're going to move on, and they want to go over. Well, the route that the Lord led Moses was only going from the east side of Jordan, and then the Jews had to go across the Jordan. But in order to get there, they have to go now to the right to Punon, and then they were denied there, so they had to go way down here to the very bottom of the map, and then loop around and then way back up here staying away from Edom, and then way up there staying away from Moab, and ultimately ending up, the next map you'll have, is where Moses then looks across the Jordan and sees the promised land. So anyway, here's the mental image there, and we can keep this out if you want, but tonight I want to talk about the issues there at Kadesh Barnea. Now, Kadesh Barnea, now look at those two words. Kadesh is the Hebrew word for holy or sacred, something like that. And the Barnea is a compound word, meaning something like desert of wandering. So he put this together, and some have coined the expression, this is the sacred desert of wandering. Now, sacred to the Lord, because this is where he's dealing with them. So it's the sacred desert of wandering. They wandered 38 years. Now, think of that. I mean, that's coincidental? No, it's not. I mean, it's purposeful. You know, and now here's the point. When the Lord takes us through valleys, these are sacred valleys that he gives specifically for us. Our valley has our name written on it, and it's a sacred valley because this is where we get our hearts right and worship the Lord. You follow that? So when he gives us a valley to go through, it's always got our name written on it, and it's sacred because this is where we have to do business with the Lord. And then when we do, then there's the mountaintop. And right on the other side of the mountaintop, there's another valley. But so keep that in mind. I mean, this is not coincidental. This is not made up. This is what we have here. All right, so anyway, now, Kadesh Barnea was a place of certainly testing and many, many failures. Place of testing and many, many failures. So we want to look at some of this tonight. So now we're going to look in several places. Let's look while we're in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, now in the first four chapters, what Moses is doing, he's reviewing their history. Reviewing their history. And so in the reviewing of their history, he talks about how in chapter 1 later on. Now, right now, I'm giving you maps, give a middle image, and I'm summarizing. Later on, we're going to go verse by verse, but I want to approach this from several different ways. You have a visual image, then we look at some of the verses, a general overview, then we come back, we look at every verse. So that's what we're trying to do here. But there in chapter 1, and pick it up in verse 12, verse 23, 12 men were sent out. And verse 26, they rebelled. Verse 27, they murmured. Verse 28, they said, the people are greater than and taller than we, and the cities are great and walled up to heaven. And so they discouraged the people from going on, except for Joshua and Caleb. So we see that in verse 36, Caleb. And and Joshua in verse 38. And notice now what they were saying in verse 39. Moreover, your little ones, which you said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. Here they were saying, we don't want to go in because we have little children here, and the little children might get hurt. The Lord can take care of little children. It's not about little children. It's about, will adults make biblical decisions? And so adults need to make biblical decisions, and this then will impact. If adults are right with the Lord, this will have a good impact on the children being right. But if the children are put first, and everything's about my children, and I want the best for them, but if our hearts aren't right, that's not going to work. Amen. But that's our world today. That's our world today. Anyway, let's go on. So we end up here in verse 46, and Moses says in verse 46, so you abode in Kadesh many days, according unto the days that you abode there, many, many days. All right, if you look over there in chapter 2, verse 14, Scripture says, and the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we were come over the brook Zered, which is on your map, by the way, it was 38 years until all the generation of men of war were wasted out from among the host as the Lord swore unto them. So this indicates there are 38 years. So in the one passage it says many, many days. Well, how many days? 38 years worth of days. All right. So they're in Kadesh Barnea. This is the place of testing. The place of testing, and in the place of testing there was great sin and rebellion. So the let's look over here in Numbers, for instance. So Numbers correlates a great deal with the history of Deuteronomy. And Numbers, as I mentioned before, is the book that deals with testings and primarily failings in the testings. So if you look there in Numbers chapter 14, here the people are murmuring, and they are sent out. Now notice in verse 22, so we have several points I want to bring out in this chapter here. Verse 22 of Numbers 14. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times. So this is when the children of Israel were murmuring different scenarios there about the food and water and all these things. Tempted me thou 10 times and have not hearkened unto my voice. Surely they shall not see the land. So Harry indicates they won't see the land except for Caleb and Joshua. And then let's notice over in verse 33, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredom. So 38 years basically at Kadesh Barnea, and then the last 2 years they're approaching the promised land. And bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Now notice verse 34. And after the number of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. So as the spies went in for 40 days and saw the blessings of the land, then they came back in rebellion, except for two. The Lord said, okay, I'm multiplying this by 10, because there's your 10th rebellion. And see, 10 times 40 days, turns out to be 40 years, all right? Yeah, you do the math. But I mean, there's the equivalent. 40 days, 40 years. 40 years here, all right? So we see the Lord's judgment on them. So his judgment on the unsaved is far worse than their sin, and his chastisement on the believer is far worse than on a believer. So if we think we can sin a little, the Lord's chastisement is going to be greater, you see. And so, but he wants to chasten us to help us to learn, you know, this is not equal. I mean, if I sin a little here, so-called, you know, the consequence is going to be a lot greater. So am I willing to pay those consequences? Well, obviously, we're not playing a math game, but we need to think these things through. All right, so one thing that happened there at Kadesh Barnea was that the spies that were sent out rebelled, 10 out of 12, rebelled against the Lord. And then another episode is in Numbers chapter 16. This has to do with Korah. Korah and his men thought that Aaron and Moses were taking too much on their leadership, and they wanted to be the leaders. So everybody likes to be the leader, you know. And so they wanted to be the leader, and so the Lord had to demonstrate to them who was going to be the leader. And verse 30 here, of course, he opened the ground. Korah and his group and families, they fell into the ground, and the Lord demonstrated for all people that his chosen leader was Moses along with Aaron. And so we had that episode there as well. All right, then let's look in chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20. Now, here we have reference to Miriam. Now, Miriam was a sister, probably his older sister, no doubt his older sister. But in chapter 20, verse 1, then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, to the desert of Zin. Zin means flat, so flat desert. In the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. And so it just has a stark statement about her. She died there. Now, she was older than Moses, and she died there at Kadesh Barnea. And remember, she was in a rebellion and struck with leprosy early on. So even though she was a prophetess, not much good said about her. Now, anyway, then we move on in chapter 20. In chapter 20, notice in verse 8. So now this is the tail end. This is at the tail end of the 40 years. And verse 8, the Lord says, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. And notice he's supposed to speak to the rock, and it shall be give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rocks, so that thou shalt give the congregation and their beast drink. So here he's told to speak to the rock. Now, before we move on, let's look back there in Exodus chapter 17. Here we have another episode, Exodus chapter 17. And this is early. This is early in the 40-year journeys. Our Numbers passage is late in the 40-year journey. But in Exodus chapter 17, the people were complaining about water. So the Lord here says in verses 6 and 7, or no, let's look at 5. And so the Lord said, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so on the side of the elders. So here he smote the rock. The Lord said, smite the rock. And he smote the rock. Water came out. By the way, this is how they got the water. I mean, think of that. 40 years wandering around in the desert area. Manna from heaven. Quail occasionally. Water out of the rock. I mean, this was desert land. So that's how they got the water. Anyway, here he's told, smite the rock. He smote the rock and got water. Got water. Now, in this passage, so we're back here in Numbers 20, and the Lord says in verse 8, speak ye unto the rock. Now, notice speak ye, that's a plural, so that include Aaron, Moses and Aaron. And give the people drink. And now verse 9 says, so we're in Numbers 20, verse 9, Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. Now the Lord told him to speak to the rock, not to smite the rock. Earlier the Lord told him, smite the rock. But here, speak to the rock. Both of them were to speak to the rock, and instead they smote the rock twice in anger. Now, they were still able to get water. They were able to sin against the Lord, Numbers 20, able to sin against the Lord and get results. Think of that. So keep in mind now, pragmatism is not necessarily biblical. You follow that? Just because something works doesn't mean it's right. Important point here. So here, they're very pragmatic. Well, you want water? We'll get you water here. And they got water. But we don't want to be pragmatic to the sense that whatever works to get a big number in here doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how we get a big number in there. Because what's important is to get a big number in here. That's pragmatism. No, it doesn't matter. Oh, we could get a big number in here. We get a big number in here, but we're not interested in that. But anyway, he was to speak. He smote the rock. They smote the rock twice. And so the Lord says in verse 12, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation to the land which I have given them. So here, late in his life, he sinned and he lost out on a great blessing right at the tail end of his life. See, so I don't think we want to live our life that way, so that, you know, we're moving forward in the Lord and right at the very end we sin against the Lord in some grievous way and we lose so much. Now, not our salvation, but we lose so much in reward and blessing. I mean, do we? We don't want that. We want to flourish strong in the Lord right at the very end. But with Moses, you know, in his anger, he smote the rock twice. All right, so more sin involved there at the Kadesh. All right, and then let's look for, further here. Then in Numbers, the same chapter, Numbers 20, verse 24, the Lord says, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. That's where they, the last place. And strip Aaron of his garments, and put them on Eleazar. So here Aaron is stripped of his garments, and so as the high priest, he couldn't take him into the land. By the way, as high priest, he couldn't take them into land where they get rest. So how'd they get rest? They got rest through the ultimate Joshua. The ultimate Joshua, Jesus, gave them rest. Aaron the high priest couldn't. Anyway, we find Aaron dies there. And so Kadesh Barnea, it's the holy place of wandering, the sanctified place of a wilderness wandering. And yet, in many of these tests, they failed. They failed the Lord, and so there was judgment. So the judgment on Moses' family, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, they were all prophets. They were all leaders. They had great privilege. They had all kinds of blessing. The Lord's hand was upon them all the way along. Yet in the end, they couldn't enter into the promised land because of their sin. So, you know, what a tragedy from that point of view. And this is not to say these individuals were not saved. I'm not saying that. But as believers, they sinned there right at the end. At least Moses and Aaron did. So, anyway, so let's look back to the map. Let's look back to the map one more time. So, just a little bit of repetition, trying to get this in our mind. And so here we pick it up there at Kadesh Barnea. Sanctified wilderness wandering. That's what it means. And the spies were sent out. See the arrow? Spies went out. They came back with a bad report, 10 of them. So the Lord said, all right, you're going to wander around for 38 years, or 40 years, basically. They wandered around. See the dotted line? Wandering, wandering, wandering. Now, our verse today, where it said is 11 days from Mount Sinai up to Mount Seir, and then over to Kadesh, and from Kadesh, this is where the spies went out, and they could have entered into the land that way. So in 11 days, or a few after that, at least 11 days, they'd be at Kadesh, where they could have gone into the promised land. And yet, and they rebelled. So the Lord said, no, not going to make it 11 days. It's going to be 40 years. So the Lord has all the time in the world. We don't. So when we sin against the Lord and we waste time and we do stupid things and we have consequences that knock us out of so much, see, so we need to be wise in our life and make our lives count for the Lord. And not be wandering around that 40-year wandering because that was a hard wandering. It was a hard time for them, you see. They were in that valley, you might say, for a long time because they were hard-headed, hard-hearted. They rejected the Lord. They had so much light, and they rejected the Lord in all the midst of this. And so, the first generation all died off. And then the leaders died off as well. And Joshua and Caleb were the only two of the original group, other than those younger, that got into the promised land. And so, anyway, hopefully this gives you a mental picture. I know if you're reading through a text here, and it's given all these places, and you're thinking, oh boy, you know, struggling over this word. I have no idea, where this is. But hopefully this, you start to develop a mental image in your mind of the promised land. And so you can find the two basic seas. You know the Mediterranean Sea, you know where Jerusalem is. So now we work off this and get a more detailed map. I know all of you probably have a very detailed mental map of your real estate, whether you're in an apartment, a condo, a house, or whatever. You've got a detailed map in your mind, and if a chair is out of place or, you know, picture's not straight, I mean, these are important things. They are. But this is important, too. This is what the Lord has given us in Scripture. So we need to keep all these things in mind. Anyway, we'll continue to move on here, but this is kind of an introduction of what's going on here. So as we go through the book of Deuteronomy then, I think it's beneficial for you to have the map, have a mental image, see what's going on, Kadesh Barnea, could have been a time of great blessing where they just went right into the land. They'd gone by faith, but instead they rebelled and they wandered around. All right, we have other things in the book as well. You might want to read the white book. So my Sunday school lesson coming up one of these days is Jephthah's Vow. So we'll look at that eventually. Our Father, we thank you for the time we've had here. We pray you should bless our time now as we go to prayer. We ask for it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.